Good evening, everyone. Hopefully you can hear me all well. I'll just be filling in for Lee this week as he's on holiday for the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. This week we will be discussing yesterday's nil-nil draw against Grimsby. I know a lot of you did go up there and did see the game, so please do hop on and let me know what your thoughts are in regards to what else we'll need this season and just everything Wimbledon, really. Talking about yesterday, nil-nil against Grimsby, who, in all fairness, look a very strong team. They look very fluid within the attack, very kind of squad depth does look very good also. And a lot of their summer signings have been kind of what we were looking for, as in lower league gems. And like Camille Conte, who was playing at Gateshead last season, who had a very good season, obviously performed ecstatically yesterday. So, yeah, does anyone want to hop on and just kind of talk about what they thought of yesterday's game? Just while we wait for someone to obviously just request to speak. Oh, Jonathan, here we go. Sorry, Jonathan, just trying to figure out how to add you as a speaker. There we go. Hello, Jonathan, how have you been, mate?
I've been great and excited to have a new season start. And, overall, I think it was a solid performance. I mean, I think there's definitely some things that that are critical. I have a lot of questions. Specifically, what are we doing at left back? And I think that that there are other questions that are going to definitely crop up. But overall, Bass looked amazing in goal. I think Lewis is a great center back. I think there's a lot to be very optimistic about. I'm not ready to make any big predictions about this season, but to start away and get a draw and not concede, I'm good with that. And I think it was a solid start.
Yeah, I'm very kind of inclined to agree, actually. I think this season, from pre-season and yesterday, I think going forward we will be a difficult team to beat. Defensively and in goal, we do look solid and a lot more solid than we have last two seasons. But for me, it's just a question of do we have the firepower, especially if Ali gets injured, do we have the firepower to really kick on and score goals, which we've kind of been missing in pre-season as well. Obviously, I need kind of a couple of board draws and then a 4-0 win against Met Police, which you'd be expecting to beat them quite comfortably. So, yeah, that's the question for me. Do we have enough firepower going into the season, or do we need to bring in a couple more names just to really, bolster that attacking spearhead that we clearly have the foundations for? So, yeah, did you watch the game yesterday on iFollow, Jonathan?
Yeah, I did. I did. And I think that I with the firepower, I'm not too terribly concerned about that yet. I mean, I don't think Ali is fit yet. I think he needs a little bit more to before we see the best version of him. And I think that especially with attackers up front, I think that is one of those relationships that takes longer to develop. And I'm not so sure that we're going to totally know where we stand on that after one game. I also think that having real wingers is something completely new this season. So I think that seeing how they fare in the scoring and how they play into that is also another thing that is going to take more time to develop. And then another thing that I'm and I'd love some other opinions on this. I'm wondering if the big thing that we might see differently this year is how Johnny Jackson uses subs. Because I think one of the big problems that we had last season was
Oh.
he was really ineffective at using subs last year. And I'm wondering if, especially now that he has more options at striker, if there will be more use of subs and better use of subs. I'm wondering what people think about that.
Yeah, so I did accidentally just mute everyone. I was trying to accept a request, so sorry about that. I think going forward, I think even as Jackson said, Ali still isn't 100%. He's missed quite a big chunk of pre-season, But as soon as he came on yesterday, he literally just changed the complete tempo of the game. I do like Josh Davison, but I think he lacks kind of he does a lot of running. Like I've said this a lot, he's like a Duracell bunny. He just non-stop running around. But does he have the knack for really being that goal scorer that Ali is? As soon as Ali came on yesterday, he nearly scored, and then the penalty, unfortunately, which in all honesty was absolutely pants. It was an awful penalty. So going back to what you said about subs, this season, obviously the squad depth that we have, I think that there's a lot of players off the bench that we can bring on as impact. I know what you said earlier about left back and wing backs. I still think we need to bolster in that area, especially a right back, because I think Ogundeir, for me, he needs a loan. He's too raw. He's not really what we need. And then Jack Curry being injured is quite a bit alarming, really. I don't know how long he's going to be out for. I think it's just a niggle. But yeah, do we need kind of a few more wing backs to complete the solidity in what we have with Johnson and, you know, whoever he's playing next to, Lewis or Callum Bayer, hopefully, when he comes back, or Pierce. I don't know what you think on that, Jonathan.
Well, okay, so I'm a little bit higher on Ogundeir than a lot of people are. I think, could he benefit from a loan if it's a loan to the right place where he's getting the predominant number of minutes? Because, like, I think it'd have to be conference where he's starting where he's you know, the regular starter at that position. And I don't know if that loan exists. I don't think Ogundeir is going to lose us any games. I don't think he's going to help us win any, but I don't think he's so bad back there that he's going to lose us any games. But yes, you know, if, as long as Biller is so injury prone, having Ogundeir as our only other right back option is a little bit concerning. I was really interested to see Johnson at left back, because I thought that when Curry was scratched, I thought we were going to see Lee Brown, and that scares the ever-loving snot out of me to see him in there if we can help it. But I think Johnson acquitted himself decently at left back. I don't know how comfortable he is back there. I don't know whether it was something that he was that he'd gotten any training time on, but I think he did okay. So right now I feel like with Ogundeir and Johnson, we are in a position where we're okay in those positions. And I think you need to be better than okay if you're going to do well.
Yeah, I do tend to agree. I think, as Jackson said yesterday, Johnson has played a stint at left back in his career. And being at the game yesterday, I think he looked more than capable. I know he's not the quickest, but even Pierce, I know he brings the kind of back line a lot deeper, but yesterday, I can't really give him any like marks down. I thought his reading of the game is just a lot higher than League Two. But it's just unfortunate that after about 30 minutes, he starts running like an ironing board. So, yeah, it's just hopefully with the injuries come back into contention and become fit again, hopefully that really bolsters, you know, the back line, as I said. But I still think, yeah, we need to dip into the transfer market with whatever budget we've got left, and hopefully use the loan market, which I think we will do on a first choice right back.
Yeah, there was a comment in here. Kyle said a Premier League loan striker who's quick, two loan fullbacks, and we have a team that can challenge. In my opinion, Kyle, I kind of agree with that. Here's the thing about a Premier League loan striker is, I would want to make sure that I love that we're not doing loans as much this year, because I don't want to see us have another Riley Towler situation where we are really depending on a loan for a big part of what makes us competitive, and then he gets recalled. And I, you know, I don't know if a Premier League is going to have any give us any kind of guarantee on how long we'd keep said striker. I mean, I agree with you. If we get him, that would be perfect. That would be perfect. But I'd be a little bit hesitant to do that just because I'd be really worried that, let's say we get that person and he's just cracking on and scoring goals left and right, and we go into the January transfer window, in a top 10 table position, and then they recall him, and then we're screwed. And then we have another run like we had at the end of last year, where things really start to fall apart, in a big part because our loans evaporated. So that would be my concern with that. But Jack, what do you think of Kyle's suggestion?
I think obviously I think it's evident we need to dip into the loan market. I think a striker from Premier League, as you literally just said, Dapa Mabuda, he looked decent in League One. I don't really agree. He just kind of looked like a headless chicken at times. But obviously that's just my opinion. But I do think we need someone like Ali who can just, we ping the ball up, bugles. Just nods it on, and we get someone to run after it. I still think we need that kind of pacey, kind of strong striker that can get in behind, like Ali was doing yesterday. Fullbacks, yeah. If Curry gets injured again, which he does get kind of a few small knocks here and there every last season, he did. I wouldn't want Brown as a backup, and especially if we get a few centre back injuries, Johnson wouldn't be afforded to go on to the left. So I do think we still need some backup in those areas 100%. But yeah, no, it's just I think squad depth is a real thing that we could still bolster. But it's just obviously Craig Cope, we just need to trust him, and I think he's done exceptionally well so far, in all fairness. Just bringing in those few players that just really kick on in the squad.
I agree 100%. I think Cope deserves some credit. I mean, obviously, we need to reserve judgment until, we have more look behind us, and how he does in the January transfer window. I think that's really where you make your money as a head of football operations, is what you do in January, because either you make the moves to make you competitive, to make a push at the end, or you figure out that you can't. You figure out where you're going to be, and you use those moves to look to the next season. So I think how he does in the next January transfer window is really important to figure out what Craig Cope is all about. But let me go back to your, so Davison runs around a lot. I get that, but I'm wondering, as the midfield solidifies more and he doesn't have to, I mean, run around like a chicken with his head cut off, and he can be a little more thoughtful. Does that make him look better? Does that make him more viable? I think it does, because I think one of the real reasons why we struggled last year and why he struggled was there wasn't the support behind him. I think our midfield was so weak for the majority of last season that there's only so much a striker can do if there's no midfield behind him.
Oh, of course, and I think that's why bringing in Jake Reeves, who I'm going to be honest, that he's just been a cut above what we've had for a while, to be honest. That ball that he played into Ali when he won the penalty, it was just kind of a no look, kind of cut back on itself through two Grimsby defenders, and that's what we need, that creativity and just a player who has been there, done that, and just knows what it takes to win League Two football matches. Like, he'd done it with us in the past in the promotion season. And he did it with Stevenage last year, but with Davison, I've noticed that, especially when at Wealdstone, which obviously where I went to, he gets into the right areas, and he's very good at being in kind of a right area to pick up a pass in a pocket space. But his finishing, it just needs to drastically improve if he's going to really solidify himself as a threat in this team. I just think his finishing right now is just way off the mark of what Ali's is like, and I think that's the reason why we'll just consistently keep him out the team. And I think going forward it would be Bugle and then obviously Ali up front as a two. But for me, I think we need to revert. I thought we played well yesterday, but we need to sack off the 4-4-2, in my opinion. I know it might have just been different because Grimsby, were playing it in and around, and they kind of. At times they were cutting us apart, but I think we do get overrun in that midfield too often. and I've noticed that in pre-season. I think we need a three in midfield. But yesterday, Little and Reeves were just, you couldn't fault them, really. I thought Little was just impeccable.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think the best two players on the pitch, well, okay, the best three were Bass, Little, and Reeves.
Yeah.
I'd be hard pressed to pick a man of the match among those three, because I think all three of them looked really good.
Oh yeah, and you can just tell from the back line, just the confidence that's kind of been just changed. So they're kind of like the keeper. I think the defenders, when you have a keeper in net that you think he's going to save that, or you know he's got that covered, the defenders just relax a bit more. And I think with Zanev in goal, you had however many centre-back partnerships, apart from that run where Taulon and Kalambay were just impenetrable. But even when we had Hennigan and Nightingale in the League One season, they just looked like they were just shitting the bed every time it came near Zanev. And it was just, it's nice to see a centre-back partnership or a back line that kind of have confidence in Bass. And it's just, it's quite refreshing, I'm going to be brutally honest. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. I really would love to see what that back line looks like with Johnson over at center back, or after Kalambay's back from injury. I think those would be that could be even better. And I know Pierce really does limit our ability to push forward, but I mean he still looked like a strong veteran presence. And if we're not relying on him to do 90 minutes every match, you know, if he can spell people and also maybe be a sub when someone gets a knock or needs a breather, I think Pierce could play the right role on this team. I think last year there was just way too much assuming that these older, these veteran guys would come in and just eat League Two for breakfast, and the opposite happened, you know. And I think it was because they were trying to be, the full deal. And I think that if Pierce is more a bench leadership sub role, I think he could be really beneficial.
Yeah, no, I think we are. Well, I think we all know that Pierce won't be able to play a Saturday, Tuesday consecutively. So I think he'll be the player that's kind of called upon when there is an injury or we're going into a game where we just do need that a bit of solidity in the back line, where he can just come in and do a job. I don't think he's maybe better than, say, Johnson and Lewis would be in a centre-back partnership. But it's just my worry is, with Lewis being on loan and the performances that he has been putting in, and I know a lot of Stockport fans, were quite gutted that he left, because they did think he had, I think we can see he's got a lot of potential as well.
Yeah.
Say if Stockport, yesterday they lost. So if it gets to a point in January where they're leaking goals and he's performing exceptionally well, is there the threat of, them recalling him and we're left with an injured Kalambay, a Pierce that can play, two out of four games in a month? It is worrying, which is why I think we need, a couple more players to come in. But it's just, as I say, it's just refreshing to see us kind of being a bit more solid at the back. Just quickly, if anyone else wants to, hop on, have their say about obviously yesterday's game and going forward, what we need in transfer window, etc., please feel free to obviously put your hand up and then just have a chat, really.
As much as Jack and I would be happy to talk the whole damn hour, I would much prefer we shut up and hear from other people. let's look at the comments real quick. Jamie says, as long as the spine of the team are our players to keep, then I don't mind loan players. So maybe here's a question. How many loan players are we comfortable with being our primary starters at any position? Is there like a number that people feel comfortable with?
Well, I think Lewis is obviously the main one. I'm trying to think who else we've got on loan. But I think the bulk of it at the minute, apart from Bass and Lewis, is more permanent basis. I think a right back, a right back might be coming in on loan, which would be a first choice, because I think with Biller, with his elastic band hamstrings, and Ogundeyi maybe not too cut out to be a permanent fixture. that kind of a 3 out of a 5 defensive line, is that going to be, I'm a bit reluctant to see whether that could be torn apart in January again, like it kind of did last season with Towler, which was just a monumental staple head of that. I'll say good run. It was just a run where we didn't get beaten, which was nice, but yeah, it's just, would be nice to see it not ripped apart again. So I'd say one or two in the team. I'd like to see the rest kind of consistent, permanent on our books kind of thing. How are you, Terry?
Hiya, Jack. Evening all. Yeah, I'm picking up on something Jonathan said about his man of the match, and he then went through about 4 players. And if I go through social media over yesterday, there's roughly about 5 players who have chosen to be man of the match. And I think we've got to remember that last year we struggled to find a man of the match for any game. We really struggled to find that one. So there's something coming out. There's something growing there, and we've got to give it time. There was a brand new team there. I mean, forget the pre-seasons, that they were all mixed up and different formations. Yesterday was the beginning of, shall we say, a new wave, and they've got to have time to gel. And looking at yesterday, they were determined not to get beat. So that's the start.
Yeah, and I think yesterday was just a testament for all the hard work that, you know, Jackson's put in over the summer with, and even Craig Cote really bringing in players who, you know, if they do, I don't think we've seen us go a goal down really apart from QPR in pre-season. But, you know, it seemed like last season when we went a goal down, our heads just dropped. We didn't seem to have the belief that, you know, we can go on and, you know, get a result or grab a goal back. But yeah, it's just even Pierce yesterday. I know last season he was a bit kind of a lot of fans, in honesty, just didn't really rate him. But yesterday was, you know, it's his job, I know, but he was just throwing himself in front of everything. Even Johnson, like for crosses, not the quickest of lads, but you can just see him absolutely bombing it and just absolutely blowing out of his arse just to get there. And that's something that maybe we haven't had in terms of determination and just the confidence to even playing out from the back. It's just nice to see, you know, us putting a couple of passes together and not looking like we're just shaking with fear, you know. So it is really quite refreshing. And I think we've got a good basis to really kind of kick on and develop the style of play that Jackson's brought in, the players that he wants to play.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna grow, and they've got to get used to each other. And that once they start to find that rhythm, I honestly think we've got something. And I say, I think most people on here now know how long I've been following the Dons. And every now and again, you get this feeling that there's something there. Not always right, unfortunately. But I think there's something there this season. God, I'm not saying we're going to win or get promoted or anything. But what I am saying is, we're not going to need the fear that we've had in the past 2 seasons. We could see it coming. You always knew it was going to happen the past 2 seasons. You just knew that it was going to collapse. But this season, I think there's the confidence. I've certainly got it. I just hope the players have.
Yeah, and it's just, as I say, I agree, Terence. I think it's nice and refreshing to kind of have that. Yeah, it is confidence to say, you know, going into the last 10 minutes yesterday, we're not kind of biting our nails in the crowd thinking, oh, you know, we're just going to concede a last second winner. So it is nice, and I think the back line is just it's just very solid, and it's just nice and refreshing to see. Don's Vlogs, how are you?
Hi, Jack. How you doing?
Good, thank you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, it's nice actually to make it on a speak for once. I usually start and then come off. So just usually in a pub or doing something else. So yeah, I just wanted to start. Obviously, like, it was nice, you know, you don't usually come away from a 0-0 so positive. It's nice to actually come away. It was an entertaining 0-0. You know, I think every player on the pitch was a 7+ rating out of 10, I'd probably say. You know. And also, like, we wasn't really beaten in any position, but we didn't dominate any areas of the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know if that really makes sense. It wasn't a terrible game, but it wasn't a great game. Everyone battled really hard, which we haven't seen for a long time, you know, which is obviously what we're asking for. I think, you know, I'm speaking we, me. Yeah, basically that was it. That was a positive from the game, really. I thought, you know, although it was 0-0, we could have walked away with the 3 points. Bass saved us, technically getting no points. So, yeah, also, obviously, the Ogundare point. If you had given me the choice of Ogundare and Bielar over, obviously, I know Bielar was carrying a little knock in pre-season. Well, not knock, but, you know, coming back from a long-term injury. But, I mean, obviously, I thought Ogundare was the more mature of the two out of all the performances in pre-season. You know, and obviously, just extending that sort of point about bringing in more fullbacks. I mean, the squad have obviously got a bit of a hard job as well, the team and Craig Cope, you know, because we originally had like Lee Brown and Jack Curry for one position. I mean, it's not often in a team you have three players that cover one position. I mean, what's worrying for us as a team already is the fact we're starting to get mount these injuries even before the season's really started, you know? So we can't technically cover three places in every squad. So you're just never going to have the squad capacity. I mean, there has to be something underlining behind why these injuries are happening so soon already. You know, because I mean, Jake Reeves and Little were phenomenal yesterday, but they're never going to be able to keep that pace up twice a week. You know, they're going to be knackered and they're fatigued and they're going to get injured and then we're going to have to replace. I mean, like, for example, yesterday, you know, we had that bench. I mean, from what I understand, you know, is it Ryan McLean? He was told 20 minutes before, you know, he travelled up, he sat with the fans, but he was told 20 minutes before that he wasn't going to be in the squad. You know, obviously there was a possibility he wasn't. But I'm not too sure how many people you're allowed on the bench anyway. You know, but if you're allowed five subs, it technically meant we'd only have two spare on the bench. Yeah, it's just one of those. Like, I saw Tilly, right, he made that long run right at the end of the game, you know, and he went down holding with cramp in his leg. I mean, surely Sasu's got to be an option just to bring on for 3 or 4 minutes, you know? I mean, I didn't see the point of risking Tilly to carry on with cramp in his leg. I know something players run off and it's this and that, but if we've got these players on the bench, surely we have to trust them and have to use them. That's about it, really.
Cheers for obviously putting your point across, mate. And just quickly, if anyone hasn't seen Don's vlogs, obviously new video for yesterday's game, do check it out because, as always, it's an absolute blinder. Willem, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Just I think the subs with Tilly it's a weird one. I think Jackson still does want to build minutes and legs because, you know, it would just be not. And I think maybe people like Sasu are a bit too, I don't know what the word is, raw to maybe bring on in a game where, you know, one mistake could, we're holding on to a draw essentially against a team that probably should be right up there this season in terms of points tally. But yeah, no, it's an interesting debate, obviously, whether you want to bring on players just to avoid, you know, cramps and stuff like that. Injuries. I know Craig Cope has tried to improve the training facilities a lot over the kind of pre-season and the summer, which it's not really that difficult to improve because by what we've heard, it was just absolutely, you know, horrendous. Some of the stuff that was been thrown about, you know, tree spores or something like that in the middle of the training pitch or something like that. So yeah, it's not the best, but obviously it's steps in the right direction in terms of, you know, building a squad that isn't made of glass and won't shatter every other game. And we're left with, you know, playing youngsters from the academy and putting them on the bench, like maybe Yeboah did, and he came on against Barrow last season. So yeah, it's just steps in the right direction, I think.
Well, obviously I was just using Sasu as an example. You know, we had other players like, I mean, because obviously Johnny Jackson does like to do like man for man changes, like for like.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I was kind of using the winger example. But we also added that James Ball on the bench, Jimmy Ball.
Yeah.
You know, which obviously we got from Rochdale, who's, you know, an experienced player. I just mean, like, even just to bring him in to consolidate it, sit one of them wide, You know, because I don't know, like, obviously we heard a bit of criticism about Davidson. He does work really hard. I mean, but for me, Tilly so far, he's getting these great positions. He works really hard. But at the moment, that sort of end product just isn't there at the moment. You know, he's been all through pre-season as well.
Yeah.
He's had some fantastic chances, but just converting them chances, you know, it's been like, you know, you've seen from one side with Newfield, you know, he's converting a lot of the chances he's actually getting. You know, I was a bit disappointed as well, a little bit disappointed with the fact, like, during pre-season, I felt like our centre-backs were spraying balls sort of diagonally, you know, like cross. I thought that was kind of the play to get higher up the pitch. I don't know, you know, just looking as a spectator from the side. And we had, like, causing their defenders to head the ball out in dangerous positions when you move up the pitch. I think once yesterday, you know, or twice maybe, Josh Newfield sort of got the ball on the wing and went to take his player on right at the end. And he literally skinned him alive, you know, like, he left him for dead. And he was just like, I just don't think we utilised that enough yesterday. But obviously, I know there was two really good teams, I suppose, cancelling each other out on the pitch. But I just felt like we missed a bit of a trick sort of getting the ball down on the floor. Because when we did quickly, it worked quite well, if that makes sense. There was numerous times yesterday from the back, I thought we panicked quite a lot. And we just lumped it rather than taking it, you know. I don't know if anyone else thought that at all. I'm not saying all the time, because sometimes you have to clear the ball.
Yeah.
But I think there was a spell of, like, towards the end of the game where we just lumped the ball high consistently for about 2 or 3 minutes and just kept coming back.
Yeah, and that might be something to do, obviously, the makeshift back line with, you know, Curry's injury.
Yeah, cool.
And obviously with Nerfield's... I know what you're saying about we need to utilise that more, but I thought against Wildstone, where you had Curry and Nerfield on that left... I did see you there, so I'm sure you saw. But their link up play down that left hand side in the wing and playing each other through and the Curry overlap, I think that is going to be a real threat this season, and something that Johnson obviously can't do, because if he gets into the positions that Curry did for Bugle's goal against Wildstone and it doesn't come off, I don't think he's really got the pace and legs to bomb it back and get in position. So maybe that's why we went for that kind of different approach yesterday. But yeah, I think Sasu, I thought, was a good example, because I think for the academy, he was a winger. And I think he's going to be a real, if he doesn't go out on loan, I think he can be utilised as kind of that big, strong player to take people on. So yeah, it's just...
I think that Ryan Johnson, actually, you know, I thought he'd done really well to fit in at sort of the left-back position, you know. And obviously, from set pieces, it gave us a massive sort of advantage as well. So I think there was two corners in a row he actually got on the end of. He forced a good save from the keeper and then narrowly missed one at the back post. You know, so obviously, I think there's two sides of the argument with Jack Curry in there as well. Because, I mean, that's two big chances that he's had that Curry may not have had. But then Curry, like you said, with the overlap with Newfield, might have created different chances, you know. So I think with a taller back line, we actually looked, you know, more dangerous on set pieces. Only takes one or two of them to go in.
Yeah, and it's nice to have a midfielder that can actually place the ball onto a kind of a 50-pound.
Oh, 100%.
Like Jake Reeves' ball delivery is just something that we've missed. You know, it's not someone like Lee Brown taking corners where it either doesn't beat the first man or it just sails over everyone. You've got Reeves who can, place it on.
Oh, 100%. I don't want to talk about Reeves too much, because personally, I think we'll be talking about him all season, if I'm being honest. You know, like you said earlier, he's cut above what we've had previously. I mean, he's literally fantastic, you know. Just some little movements of when he sees a player go up, he was dropping 3 yards off, knowing that player's going to head the ball. And he's just picking up the loose ball and moving on, you know. And also, I like using this word, he's more progressive in his play, if that makes sense. So, last year, when we had Woodyard in that position, the ball would have predominantly gone back to the defender. Whereas his first movement is to look up, to slip the ball inside, you know, and move forward. So, I mean, obviously, it just brings the whole team forward rather than being so negative or coming back.
I think what you're saying about Reeves' positioning and some of the things that you saw, I think that's spot on. And I'd also say that this is why I think he's going to be really effective as a captain, because, you know, our captain last year definitely did not lead by example, did not show younger players how to go about their work, did not elevate anyone around him. And I think Reeves not only is going to be the best midfielder that we've had in a while, but also I think as captain, I think he's got the right mindset, and I think he's got the right way that he goes about his job that is going to have a positive effect on all of the other players around him, especially the younger ones. And that is, you know, I think that not just him as a midfielder, but him as a captain, we need to be talking about that and how that's also going to make this side better.
100%. As soon as Ali missed the penalty, I don't know if anyone else saw it, but he went straight up to him, sort of lifted his chin up, patted him on the back, and just said, come on, like, you know, let's go again. You know what I'm saying? He's like, I think that was kind of missed last year, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
It makes perfect sense to me, yeah.
Yeah, especially in the League One season where, you know, we've been on that awful run. I think there was a kind of, we missed a squad kind of feel of togetherness. And I know, especially, you know, in the instance where Asal got sent off for the alleged spitting incident. I don't know if anyone remembers that. But obviously there was a bit of an argument and a bit of a, you know, handbags. And no one ran over to, you know, kind of defend him. But now, if I can imagine if someone gets clattered in that midfield, you've got Jake Reeves, you've got essentially everyone running over to that huddle to try and defend their teammate, which for me, we've just missed that bond of, you know, players just looking after each other. And even with the fans, it's just nice to see a connection with us again. Obviously, I unfortunately couldn't go to Benidorm, but to me, you can sense the real kind of bond of, or the building of a bond that, you know, we are a club that relies on that fan-player relationship. And it's just very refreshing.
100%. I'd also say, like, you know, what you're saying is, it's a temporary feeling, you know. As football fans, we can be fickle. So if we don't sort the squad depth out quickly, you know, because obviously yesterday's example, you know, we had Morgan Williams, we got Sasio on the bench, we had Ethan Sutcliffe, I believe, going out on loan, I'm not sure. But I mean, you know, if we're not really trusting them yet in the situations when players are getting tired to come in, we do need them players on the bench. You know, it only takes one or two players to get injured, and then we have to, well, currently we are relying on them players to fill in. So, I mean, like, obviously, focusing positive, like, yesterday was great, but we're not far off that situation again of having the injuries and then being in that situation where we're going, oh, God, we haven't got no squad depth. You know, because when we had that sort of, I don't know, the Wombles had a dream, you know, two for every position, it looked really good, if that makes sense. All of a sudden, we've started the season. We've got a makeshift left back who done really well. You know, we had two midfielders that you couldn't replace because they were superb. And I don't think anyone could have picked up the tempo of that game. Just being thrown in and picked up the tempo of that game because it was end to end, you know, chances everywhere, really. And like, I don't know. Stevenage last year, when we played Stevenage, you know, it was 2-1. I can't remember the guy they brought on. But he just literally broke the game up. You know, he started fights. He kicked someone. You know, he's just nasty. I don't think we've sort of got that player on the bench to do that because obviously they're all young. They're all raw. If that makes sense. We just, I just don't want to get back to that position so quickly. It'll be interesting the next 2 weeks or so, or week and a half, or whatever we've got left of the window, to see what actually happens, you know?
Yeah, and I think...
Good start,
yeah. I think maybe bringing in, you know, a couple more players. As I say, I'm hearing or heard yesterday, obviously just rumour mill, and I wouldn't take any of what I hear seriously, but a right back that's going to come in that's experienced and that first team that will just be able to play every single game week in, week out. I do think on the bench, I would have utilised maybe a couple of the youngsters, but in a game where you've got Grimsby, who, let's be honest, they were very solid yesterday. I think they'll have a very good season. I think maybe bringing in a player like Williams into the midfield might not have been the best thing to do in terms of, you know, his inexperience and, you know, he's not physical enough to really match with, you know, the likes of Conte, who yesterday was just exceptional and it's probably one of the best signings in this league this year. It's just about utilising what we have. And I think in games where you know, we're playing a team that, you know, there's a lot of teams in this league that are really going to struggle. I think bringing on players like that, who are just that, you know, burst of energy, burst of creativity, will do us stead. But I think in a game like Grimsby, maybe it was the right idea to maybe just simmer it down a little bit and not take that risk as such.
I know, I'm in 100% agreement. You know, some of the players probably not ready for that environment, that level of... I know we play pre-season friendlies, and like Ali said on the interview, you know, no team goes out to lose it. But you don't see the intensity in the tackling or the... Do you know what I'm saying? It's not like... you're playing other opponents who are not fielding all their first team.
Yeah,
it's just one of those things. So if you take out the three examples who we've got on our bench, technically we've only got a bench of four players to choose from to club. You know, we've got five subs.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, that's...
You take the goalie out, you've got three subs you could possibly make, you know. I don't think Pell's pulling up any stumps or trees at the moment. He came on yesterday, and I, you know, the usual throw himself to the floor, but, you know, I thought the referee missed everything yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was quite, you know, it was quite refreshing, actually, that so many players were just throwing themselves to the floor and getting nothing, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the same time, it's like, you know, Pell's not pulling up those. I didn't think he was too clever when he come on. He lost the ball in a really dangerous position straight away, passed it straight through the middle of the pitch. And by the way, Boogle was fantastic yesterday. You know, I hope that's how you pronounce his name. He was amazing. I mean, we just need to, it's hard because Little and Reeves were so good yesterday, you know, but you just need that one extra bod. Like, I think, like, Davison, if he could read the game a bit better, he might have been on the end of them. But literally, we were spraying the ball into the box from one free kick. Boogle was never going to win it. He got above, like, three of the defenders. Knocked it back across goal and airkeeper just ran out. It bounced and he picked it up and it was like, God, like, you know.
Someone needs to be there.
This player's, you know, just gamble on it. You know, he's going to win one of three of these. So everyone just go off him and let him win the ball.
Yeah. And I think his hold-up play, Bugle, was just, it's just something that we've missed. I know last season, you know, I've never really seen a player that attempts that many headers and doesn't win any in terms of Josh Davison. I think he's, you know, in pre-season, when you feed him through, he's quite good. But, I think for me, it's just his finishing needs to drastically improve. And I don't know whether it's a confidence thing. You know, early last season where he did, you know, score quite a few, he looked quite confident. But I think the goal drought and maybe not scoring affects him. Not considerably, you know, enough and reason.
It has to be 100% confidence, no?
Oh.
100% confidence, because we know he can do it. We've seen him do it. You know, he scored against Mansfield twice, didn't he? Two bang, bang, header.
Mm-hmm.
Kick. There was one yesterday, actually. It was quite similar to the Mansfield. In the second half, I think Agunde swung a ball in. You know, in the end, I think Newfield headed it over right at the beginning of the second half. But, I mean, it was Davison's header all day long, but he just absolutely bottled it. You know, he didn't even go in for it.
Yeah.
Right. Sort of went past him and Newfield sort of sprung up and it sort of caught him on the off and he was like headering it on the up. But I mean, yeah, he's a massive confidence player, but I suppose you've got the idea with him, you know, if you wanted to sell him or you know, get red eventually because you're bringing in new strikers, if you're not scoring, he's not worth nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got that catch 22 of like, you've got a striker who's not scoring goals. And if you do want to get rid of him, you know, no one's going to be saying, I want to sign this striker. Well, maybe us 2 years ago, you know, he'd have been a perfect candidate. You know, we're signing a striker. He doesn't score no goals, you know?
Yeah.
That's
it. Yeah, I think with, you know, Boogle was the same. I think he's a striker that necessarily isn't going to score, but his work maybe off the ball and when he receives the ball and placing it into an area where hopefully he can link up with Ali. I think that's what will make, you know, Boogle a striker that, you know, we might think he doesn't score much, but bloody hell, he is a very good asset to the team and how we're trying to play. And I think Josh Davison, at one point last year, I think when he wasn't scoring, he was kind of that person where he was just doing all the hard work. But we just missed that. We just missed that potent striker, you know. So, yeah, I think going forward, there is a lot of positives to reflect on. But it'd just be nice to see what in the next two, 3 weeks, what players become available on the loan market or get put up for sale by their club because they're just not in the plans of their club season. And you know what Craig Cope can work his magic on, I think.
Do you think, personally, your opinion, that it will look a lot better and we'll be having a different conversation when you have Bugle and Ali up front, right? And then you're bringing Davison on the 60th minute to run around like a headless chicken.
Yeah, I think that looks totally different. I think that's a big difference, and I think it's going to be a lot better. And I think that's going to be the plan eventually once Ali gets fit. And I also I know people are kind of not high on Pell, but I think that he could also come in the 70th minute, and I think that if you have a really tall, physical guy that isn't afraid to throw elbows and have a completely different look, and Davison, who's running around like crazy, I think you could bring in late in a game two different people that would have a completely different look than what we've shown up until that point. And I think that could be effective. And that's why I really want to see how Johnny's going to use subs this year. And hopefully he can use them in ways that he's not going to be afraid to bring somebody on, not just in the last 5 minutes, but earlier, to try to mix it up, give a different look, give a different form and try to do something different. That is what I am hoping for anyway.
Yeah, I think it would be nice to see a kind of different variation in terms of, I think last season when Davison was injured, we were all kind of hoping for that top two or front two of Ali and Josh, which was something we, were all dying for. So hopefully, if Bugle's the one that's kind of winning the headers and stuff like that, and he's just so physical. And if he can, if he tires out defenders, which at one point, when he was up front, you could see defenders thinking, bloody hell, there's a bit of a handful here. If he can do that for, say, 75, 80 minutes, and then you've got Josh Davison who just comes on and is just running his absolute nuts off like he does always, that is going to cause problems for a defence that, is at 80 minutes with Ali and Bugle running rings around him, and you've got Nerfield and Tilly on the wing as well. So, yeah, I think we do have quite a lot of weapons on the bench. It's just how we utilise them and in what variation we kind of put the players together to create the desired effect of what we want the outcome of the game, which is obviously goals and 3 points, or if we have a couple of goals down or one goal down, we want to grab a result. And some people will be asking questions, is Josh Davison the man to help provide that? It's just the question that everyone will be asking, I think. So, I don't know if can everyone hear me? I'm not sure if...
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. No, I just went down then, which is awkward silence. Sorry about that. Yeah, just going forward, after the first game, do you think that your expectations of, what maybe we thought the outcome of this season would be, is it improved, or are you still a bit sceptical of, Johnny Jackson? I know there was a couple of people yesterday that coming out of the game, they were just... still adamant that Jackson's not good enough, and it's a bit deflating to hear people still being that negative first game of a new campaign. But what are your thoughts on that, and in terms of your expectations after that game?
Mine are unchanged. I mean, I don't think that we saw anything to give additional hope or additional existential dread. And, one of the things I'm thinking about other season openers, like I remember last year how high we were all flying after beating Gillingham, and especially with how bad the run was, at the end and getting relegated and everything. And to win one, I think, there was a huge amount of excitement and optimism, and it was probably unwarranted. So I'm going to try to temper my feelings and not let any one match overly influence what my overall expectations are for the year. There certainly wasn't anything hugely disappointing, nor was there anything that was an unexpected thing of optimism. I think it's a solid side, And I think that if, you know, when I think it has, this group has the potential to play well this year. And I, that hasn't changed, you know, that I feel the same way now than I did 2 days ago.
Yeah. And I kind of tend to agree. I don't think, I'm certainly not one of the people that came out of yesterday's game thinking, still having the opinion of, you know, Johnny Jackson's rubbish or, you know, the way we set up the team. I think the summer and Johnny Jackson having a transfer window where he can bring in the players that, you know, suits what the style of football he wants to play rather than an inherited team, you know, from the back end of the Robinson era and then Bowen and what he brought in and, you know, or what he tried to implement. I think it's just kind of put him in quite good stead over the summer. And I think he's had that time to reflect on the mistakes that he made and how he can obviously improve and take forward the criticism that maybe he received at the Meet the Manager and, you know, the event where Mick Buckley spoke about his dog for 20 minutes. But yeah, it's nice to kind of see a new fresh kind of start, really.
To be fair, I'm a bit of a weather cockerel, you know. I sort of changed, and in 1 week I was a bit like, I don't know, just giving the benefit of the doubt. Then I watched one game, like Salford, I'm like, oh, he's got to go, you know. Yeah. And then, like, I don't know, for me, I rationally thought about it and said, look, you know, if you get another manager in, we might have the same situation where he goes, I need at least four windows to sort this out, you know, and then we're two back. Do you know what I'm saying? Obviously, we had Craig Cope in, we had everyone else. And when I spoke to Craig Cope on the at Benidorm, the, you know, players supporters event, he was very like, you know, Jackson's got all the tools now. He needs, there's no excuses, which suggests to me, obviously, there was a lot of excuses that he could have given last year from club maybe not backing him up financially, you know, giving him the resources he needs. I mean, because we do need to remember as well, I know the football wasn't great and we were still winning games and losing, still winning and drawing in that 10-game unbeaten spell. You know, but we were 10th, 3 points off the playoffs with a team that he sort of accumulated from his appointment, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It all sort of, he had the sort of heart of his team ripped out and then he had sort of a style replacements and... Well, we're not complaining about the sour replacement, but technically we could have sort of the money we got Al Hamadi for, we could have paid without even selling a sow. If that makes sense. Yeah. We could have had a sow, Al Hamadi, Riley Towler at the back, because I don't know how true it is, but I heard, you know, we was offered Riley Towler, but we didn't want a McCormack situation again, a Luke McCormack situation. So we actually turned down the offer, you know. I don't know if that's true or not. So, I mean, obviously, just speculation. But for me, I think he's building something. You know, there's a lot of positivity. He spoke a lot better at the other meetings, sort of the interviews he's done. It's always easier to smile when you're winning. You know, I did hear someone say, like, you know, you need to have more enthusiasm. But, I mean, if he's winning games and he's got his hands crossed at the side, no one cares. It's only because we're losing games in his hands across people care, you know.
Yeah.
I think we should stick with him. You know, how many games is enough games? Because the issue is, you get rid of someone 10 games in, you're bringing another manager in who might not like what he's got. You know.
Yeah.
So we could be starting all over again. I mean, and we don't really know what to expect from this season now, considering the first round of results. And obviously, he is a defensive-minded coach. So, I suppose in his ideology, you know, if you don't concede, you don't lose. So, we can't really expect too many goals, I don't think. We're going to have a very defensive sort of team, be defensively solid, and then try and nick a goal here and there.
Yeah, and I think the way he set up last season, you know, where we had that whole Lee Brown passing it to Pierce about, I don't know, 30 times. Just in that one instance, I think he came in trying to play this kind of whole possession-based Pep Guardiola-style football in League Two. And, you know, we just got pissed off, and I think he's been forced into that more route one kind of style of play, which, I mean, I say like it has not paid dividends, but it's a lot better than what it was in terms of when he was playing five at the back. But yeah, just going forward, I think he's got 10 games to really implement what, you know, we as a fan base think about him, and, you know, results matter in football. And if it's 10 games in and we've drawn all 10 of them, I mean, I wouldn't be happy, but it's, you know, I don't think a lot of people would be happy, but it's at least it's 10 not lost. But I think from here, again, this is just speculation. I don't know how true it is. But just a couple of people talking about that, you know, Craig Cope's already got a replacement kind of lined up if it does go pear-shaped. That person, obviously, I don't know who it is. There's a lot of speculation who that person is. And again, just take this with a pinch of salt, because it's probably absolute waffle. Yeah, it's just interesting to see the kind of foundations that Craig Cope is laying. And I'm sure that the manager that expectedly has lined up is going to kind of, the players that he's inherited, he must kind of put those players in mind of, you know, is the manager who might succeed Jackson going to get on with these players and play his style of football? So it's just an interesting one, but obviously I don't wish failure on anyone, and I'd love Jackson to prove all of us wrong and just have an amazing season, because, you know, I think there is glimpses of, you know, improvement there.
When I spoke to, obviously, Craig Cope at the Meet the Manager, you know, he was pretty, you know, adamant and positive that we are going to be better this year. It is going to work, you know. Mm. What he's done is pretty much, you know, and he said, you know, if it doesn't work, I'll hold my hands up and walk. You know, that's what he said. And he's a bit like, so that's how confident he is it's going to work. So I'm confident in him. You know, he hasn't really done anything for me to not believe him. Currently, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He was a big part in the Ali deal. You know, he's got Armani Little down, who looks, I don't know, maybe he was holding back because he was a lone player last year. But against that 45 minutes he had against Portsmouth, I think it was, he was unbelievable. And then yesterday, he was just on a different level, you know. I think he does need to score a goal just to get his shooting boots back and his confidence, you know. But it's one of those things. If he plays like he did yesterday, I think we've got a brilliant player in our hands.
Yeah, and I think just yesterday was a testament of why Cope wanted to bring him back, even though he was injured, and, you know, he had a summer where he didn't have a full pre-season. Jackson feels comfortable enough to put him in the midfield for 90 minutes. And like you said, he was man of the match for me yesterday. He just played, it was just so good to watch him and Reeves in that midfield kind of dictating. And it just, even Reeves is like how vocal he is. You know, I think we've missed that in the midfield. And I know it's quite difficult to hear, you know, dialogue on the pitch, but, you know, even pre-season against, say, Wiltstone, you could just hear everything he was saying, the way he was just kind of directing the midfield and the shape. It's just nice to have someone that's kind of a staple head in that midfield that, you know.
It's great to have players who want to play for us as well, because obviously I noticed that at Forest Green, he went into the office pretty much every day and basically said he wanted to go. He wanted to come here, you know. But Forest Green, obviously, were in the process of changing their manager, going down to League Two. That's why, obviously, it took so long to sort of announce, if that makes sense, because they didn't know the manager coming in would want to keep him, how he fit in, sort of thing, with the new manager coming in. You know, they had lots of variables coming down. Did they want to sell to another League Two club or I think he was a free, actually, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
I think they mutually agreed to terminate his contract or something.
Mm.
So, I mean, like, obviously, it's nice to have players that actually want to come and play for the club now, you know. And obviously, like, going back to that team spirit site kind of thing, you know, there must be a positive impact between the players and friendships. Because obviously, for someone to sort of pretty much just say they want to come down here, you know, is a big thing.
Yeah, exactly. Terry, you got your hand up, mate. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I want to pick up on the managers, or any manager at present, because I've read and listened to nearly everything that Craig Cope has said. And basically, this team has been built on him coming in and sitting down with Andy Thorne, Johnny Jackson, Terry Skiverton, and other coaches, he said. But they've sat down and they've asked, what do they want to achieve? And then, how do they go about achieving it? And Craig and Andy Thorne have said, right, we will now find the players for that team. And what Craig Cope said is, that team will play in a certain way. And if the manager can't get it out of that team, he goes, the next manager in will be told, there's the team, this is the system, you make it work. So what he's looking for is continuity. So if we can keep Jackson and it works, there's no reason to think of him going. Unless, of course, somebody else comes along and says, we want to buy him. But that's what he's really saying is, let's start again, let's reset, build, and take it from there. And I think it's admirable, because if you listen to Craig Cope, you're awake. I mean, talk about a confidence booster. The man's full of confidence. There's no doubt about that.
Mm. Yeah, and it's just nice to have someone that, you know, in the back room that is as confident as he is. I think going into season, I think from yesterday's results, I know opening day is kind of just like a bit of a lottery because anything can happen, but yesterday there was quite a lot of shock results, which to me implies that this league, we knew it was going to be a difficult league anyway because it's one of the strongest league twos that has been in a long time. But you've got, you know, Crawley beating Bradford. Crawley just an absolute shambles of a club right now. I know they're a bit of Bradford's bogey team, but you know, everyone kind of, I'm sure on everyone's acres, thought Bradford were going to storm that. You've got Harrogate beating Doncaster with their transfer window they've had. You'd expect them not to lose that game. Stockport losing to Gillingham, which, you know, Stockport are favourites to go up. Gillingham, by no means, a bad team. But yeah, it's just so competitive. Even with Sutton, I don't think anyone, even Sutton fans, would have predicted that they would have beaten Notts County 5-1. So this season, I think it's going to be really tough. And it's just about the mental kind of resilience and the ability of the players, which I think will get us through and have a, hopefully, you know, I'm expecting a kind of 14th place finish. If we can go above and beyond that, then that'd be lovely. But I think this season is the season where, you know, I've been saying it for the last 2 years, it's kind of a reset season, season zero, if you like. But this season, we do really need to kind of, you know, solidify and stable the ship and not kind of have a mental breakdown, you know, halfway through the season. So it'd be nice just to have a nice stable season, and if we do push on, then that's just extra bonus, isn't it, for me? So as I say, if anyone else wants to come on and just, you know, last 25 minutes of this live spaces, if anyone wants to come on and just have a say about anything that was spoken about, then please obviously put your hand up and do come on. Just a quick question. Do you think that, you know, in this league, do you think after yesterday's results, we will see kind of a shock table situation in terms of placements of teams that maybe you thought wouldn't be doing as well, or overachieving?
I think that so much has changed that I think everything that we think about sides needs to get thrown out the window, and we need to see, you know, how these teams are actually built. You know, like, for example, of our starting 11 yesterday, there were only two that were part of the starting 11 for the first match last year, Pearson Davison. So I think that the turnover on a lot of these teams has been dramatic. So I have no preconceived notions about any of the teams. I did think it was really hilarious to watch Notts County and Wrexham fans just devastated at how poorly they did yesterday. Like they completely did not realize that the jump between conference and League Two is significant. And just because those two teams dominated conference, they are still huge relegation candidates this year. So whether it's, you know, I just don't have any preconceived notions about any of these teams. Nothing will shock me until after, you know, we're 10, 12 games in and we get a better sense of of how everybody's shaping up. I don't think last year's results, I think, will play very little in predicting what happens in League Two this year.
Don's blocks.
Yeah, I think obviously carrying on for Jonathan, you know, you got to think, like, obviously what happened to Wrexham. Yeah, they're not just going to have that, you know. They'll probably go out and buy two or three more players now. You know, Notts County, I don't know if anyone follows Tom Williams, sort of, he, big Notts County fan, he does all the stats and everything. You know, he's identified new centre back, new, they're going to go out, and obviously after what happened at Sutton, I know Sutton sort of, I don't know if anyone watched the highlights, but they sort of really, really look physical, big, dominant with their two strikers. They had a real style and way to play, if that makes sense. But obviously, their manager always does that. You know, I think they're going to do quite well. I hate to say it. I think if they can keep fit, I know they're big players, so they generally tire and stuff and fatigue. And I think, you know, the next, I'm not sure when the transfer window ends, but I think two or three games in, you'll start seeing, you know, the so-called bigger budget start splashing out a bit more, identifying where they really need to, you know, spend. You see Wrexham, they sort of done their whole pre-season playing against Chelsea, Man United B team, you know, the American side. I'm not really too sure what they got from that. They come back, obviously, got a reality check. And I'm pretty sure they, you know, Ryan Reynolds is going to be amending that, if that makes sense. Not going to be happy to go through the season with that. That's why I probably wouldn't think too much into sort of the Wrexham game Saturday. There'll either be a backlash or we can cause an upset. You know, it's going to be so unpredictable the first three or four games. I think Sanch mentioned it on the chat, you know, 10 games in, that's when you'll start seeing the table forming. And even then you can't predict it, because last season, Gillingham and rock bottom, they looked like they were going down. They got an owner in, if that makes sense, a rich owner who invested in the squad heavily in January, and then they ended up sort of mid-table, like well above us. So, I mean, it's very hard to predict anything at any stage of the league.
Yeah, of course. I think, yeah, going into after the first game, I think a lot of people kind of filled with, well, not confidence as much as such, sorry, but I think this season we will be a difficult team to beat. I keep saying this. Defensively, I think we do look very kind of organised, solid. But for me, it's just the attack, and we'll, if Ali gets injured, is it kind of curtains for our season? Because I don't think we really have the firepower to, you know, rectify or replicate, sorry, what Ali does with the ball, which is just score goals and just create chances. So, yeah, 10 games in, I think if we're mid-table, I don't think Jackson's head will be on the chopping block. But if we're kind of, you know, sitting down, you know, a couple of points above relegation, do we kind of sit around the table and think, you know, what can we do about it, and how can we, you know, change our fortunes as such? Jonathan?
Just a quick thought on Wrexham. I don't think they spend any money until the January transfer window, because I think Reynolds and McElhaney's promise to that fan base was to get them back into league football. And I think the only goal for that team really this year is to not be relegated out. So I don't think they're going to spend any money in the next few weeks. But I think if they're towards the bottom of the table in the January transfer window, that's when you're going to see the Hollywood millions come out and buy who they need to buy to keep them in league football. That's just my thought. But back to, so Johnny Jackson and how long we give him and where things, I think the real issue is going to be, where do we stand at the end of October or November? Because I think that there won't be any change made until then. I think but making a change in maybe the end of October to try to get somebody in before the January transfer window might happen. And like, if we're in really bad shape at the end of October, that's when I could see a move happening. But even if we're, you know, winless in 10 in the first 10, I still don't think they're going to make any moves with Jackson. I think it would be a little bit later in the season before they do that.
Yeah, and I think what we did last season, I think a lot of people kind of disagreed with. Obviously, I'm sure it was just through budget constraints and, you know, not being able to afford to pay out his contract. But I think sticking by him might have been a gamble, which, you know, looking back, we might be a big payoff, you know. So he's had a whole season where, you know, he's probably going to hold his hands up and say, look, I could have done this a lot better. He's had a summer transfer window and summer off to kind of reflect and kind of, you know, just look back on what he can change and alter. And I think with Craig Cope, you know, even over pre-season, you see him so involved in, you know, squad photos, and even in Spain, he was there, he was in amongst it. I think him and having that such good relationship with Craig Cope is really going to kind of benefit not only him as a manager, but say, you know, us as a club, where you've got those two people working hand in hand on how to improve, rather than say before, whereas Johnny Jackson, he kind of felt maybe, you know, who can I turn to, or who do I kind of talk to in terms of, you know, how to change the fortune of what's happening. So for me, it's just nice Johnny Jackson kind of having Craig Cope as his right-hand man on the backroom kind of end of it. I think that's the way a lot of people see it. But I still think, yeah, there is a lot more that we could do to maybe, you know, solidify and build a squad that hopefully is upper mid-table, which would be lovely. I don't know if anyone else has got anything to add, or just regarding anything, or you just want to wrap this up, because it is 8:40. So does anyone want to come on and just put their hand up and just add anything to, you know, what we've been talking about and what your thoughts are regarding yesterday? All right then, lovely. Well, I think I'm going to... Oh, Jonathan, go on, mate.
Jack, I just want to say thank you for hosting, and I really appreciate you stepping in and doing this when Lee is away, and you did a great job, and I appreciate you doing it, so thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, mate. Hopefully, I think Lee will be back next Sunday from his holiday. I think, yeah, just very jealous of him right now, but yeah, sorry if that ending was a bit awkward. But yeah, thank you everyone that obviously tuned in. Thank you for obviously everyone that contributed to Don's Vlogs, Terry and Jonathan. Hopefully next week, you know, after the Coventry and Wrexham game, we'll be having, you know, a lot more to rant and rave about, and hopefully, you know, have another positive conversation. So yeah, again, thank you for everyone that joined, and have a lovely rest of your Sunday evening.